And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
How quickly these weeks fly by. Here we are together on a Friday edition of the John Gambling Show with, indeed, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. Weeks are going because things are good.
Absolutely. Good things are great.
But you don't want them to go too fast. It'd be nice to
enjoy
life.
Over. Summertime is,
it's not quite, but getting close. We have another week. Traditionally, I guess the summer goes on a little longer, but traditionally Labor Day ends it for a lot of people. Then all of a sudden we'll have more traffic on the roads, more people in the stores, more people in the restaurants, and you'll be complaining about overcrowding.
Exactly. Vacation time is very evident, especially at the train stations. You can see the empty spaces that are never there.
And there are, in all fairness, during the summer. Traffic does slow down.
It does.
You know, you go across the bridges and the tunnels.
And the city's a great place, and people use it, too. I mean, you get to the parks and
on the weekend, when people say the city's deserted, the parks are available. You can go on the rides. You can go to the zoo and the museum and not have the crowds. It's a great time to be in the city.
All right. Real fast.
And incidentally, we have parks and beaches and swimming pools. You can do it. And golf courses. You can do it all here. Right
tennis
in the
courts?
Five boroughs. Tennis courts.
U.S. Open begins Monday, I believe.
A lot of traffic. My message is it's going to be great tennis. Great Mets baseball, but take
train. Mets and the Open.
It's not only that. The parking lot, one of the big parking lots, is where the new Shea Stadium, or whatever it's going to be called, is going to be built. The new ballpark for the Mets. And so we have both events, and we've taken away one of the big parking places. You got to take the number 7 or the Long Island Railroad. But if not, you're going to have a tough time parking. It's just a fact of life.
You were traveling this week to Ireland.
Was there for 7.5 hours.
7.5 hours. We heard about demonstrations. Did they develop?
I didn't see anybody. Somebody told me there was one person said 3 demonstrators, another person said a dozen, but I didn't see them.
You can get that many here in New York City just standing on a street corner.
When they love you.
Exactly.
Ireland was very nice. It was typical Irish weather. Chilly and rainy. This is why everything they call it the green. You know, all the green is a reason for all of this. And I gave a little speech at the city hall. Met the mayor. They have their mayors get elected for 1 year, and very seldom succeed themselves. And I met the mayor and his mother. He's a young guy, nice young guy, and his mother was there. And then his father showed up and said hello. But I gave a speech, and then we unveiled a memorial to the Fighting 69th. Now, you want to know why in Ireland to an American regiment is there a memorial? And I will tell you, because I knew you were going to ask that. The guy that started
Clairvoyant.
It was a guy named Michael Collins, who was over here, born in Sligo, over here, had a dispute, I gather. This was pre-Civil War. Started his own regiment, which in those days you did. And at one point, the story goes, I don't know whether this is true or not, but history, the park bench wisdom is, he got lost. He knew he didn't have a moving map on GPS. I know that's hard to believe. He didn't have
prior to the Civil War. It came right after.
His cell phone had run out of juice, mm-hmm. So he couldn't use his cell phone.
He was lost, wandering.
He knew where Washington was, and he went and set up bivouacked south of Washington. When the Confederate troops, and the 69th was fighting for the North, when the Confederate troops thought they were going to take over Washington, that after Bull Run, the Yankee army was in chaos, they came across this group, and they were neatly lined up, and they said, oh, they must have got their act together, and they withdrew. They didn't attack Washington. Lincoln saw it. Lincoln went and kissed the Irish flag and said, you've saved the Union. And this is a regiment that has gone on, had enormous losses, Fredericksburg and other places during the Civil War, but World War II and World War I and in Iraq. And I took with me on this trip a police officer. Michael Collins was the commander of the guy that started this. I took with us a sergeant from the police department who had served in Iraq with the 69th, and I took with us the widow of a former police officer, firefighter, and soldier who fought in the 69th and died tragically. It was killed during the during the Iraq War. And so the widow, and then I took Jimmy Neary, who runs a pub here, which I've been going to for 30 years, and Jack Lynch, who's a great friend of mine, whose son was a firefighter and died on 9/11. And so it was nice. And then there's a great Irish broadcaster, Adrian Flannelly, who was over there with us. And he had gone over separately. But they had this – it's actually a very tasteful, beautiful memorial. It's a cylinder, maybe a dozen feet tall, and I'd say 3.5 feet in diameter, and a frieze all the way around depicting the people that started the regiment. And they all wore little sprigs of green in their hats. And we took over some grass from the founder's grave. He's buried in Queens. To be planted
by the memorial.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
But it was very nice, and people couldn't have been nicer.
All right. The mayor of New Orleans has said some things about New York City. We will get your reaction, but let me do this first. Coming right back at 77 WABC.
In the heart of WABC.
We continue here on the John Gambling Show at 77 WABC. And Mr. Mayor.
You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I said Michael Collins. It's Michael Corcoran. I was just thinking about that.
Okay.
All those Italian names sound the same to me.
Stop. Stop.
But it's Michael Corcoran.
Okay.
Well, and it, you know, this is a guy who was born in Sligo who arguably saved the Union.
It's a little bit of history that I must admit I was not aware of.
Well, the Bloombergs in the regiment were also they tried to keep incognito and change.
Well, at least
their name.
You fought for the. At least your family fought for the right side.
Our family wasn't here when the regiment was formed. But let me tell you, if we were, we would have been on the side of the North.
All right. Let me get your reaction. As you know, the mayor of New Orleans said this in response to some questions from a CBS correspondent for 60 Minutes.
But you can't get the cars out yet. You can't get this demolished.
It's all right. You guys in New York City can't get a hole in the ground fixed. And it's 5 years later. So let's be fair.
It's a year almost from Hurricane Katrina, the anniversary next week. Your reaction?
I guess I don't know that I necessarily have one. I think New York is appreciative of everything that everybody did from around the country for us. We tried to do the same. We sent down police officers, firefighters, correction officers, equipment to New Orleans. Anything we can do to help them, we'll be happy to do, and wouldn't hesitate to ask them if there's something I thought they could do to help us. And, you know, the mayor probably was... you know, everything he does, somebody questions. I've been in that situation, but they're separate issues. We're trying to do the best job we can downtown, and we really have made enormous progress. The World Trade Center site, we finally started construction of the memorial. We've raised some of the funds. We have a long ways to go. We've been negotiating with the six insurance companies. Two have settled. We're negotiating with the others. There's a developer here. We've changed the plan to try to make sure it's a plan that can be implemented. I was worried that the developer was not going to be able to build one building after another because there just wouldn't be enough revenues fast enough, and that's been changed so that we don't have that fear anymore. We've shortened the total time that the site will be a construction site by having them built by multiple developers at the same time, simultaneously rather than sequentially. That's a very big deal because nobody wants to go down and live or work in the middle of a construction site for decades. If you say, you know, it's for X number of years and they have confidence that that's a good number, then okay, they'll pick it. They'll put up with that. We all don't mind construction if we get something good out of it, but you don't want to live with it forever. So I'll let Mayor Nagin worry about New Orleans, and I'll try to do everything I can to help the governor here in a very difficult, complex situation. And at the same time, what the city's been focusing on is every other part of downtown where we've got parks and roads and new buildings. There's cranes all over lower Manhattan. Everybody. A lot of people want to live here, and there's an enormous amount of construction, and anything that downtown New York is back.
Is it unfortunate that the mayor, Ray Nagin, chose the World Trade Center site to sort of question, diss, whatever word you want to use?
Why do you bring that up again? Here I am talking about the World Trade Center, scrupulously avoiding criticizing anybody, and you keep trying to force me back into that situation. Is that your job?
Well, yeah, to a point. Yes.
I got it. Once you're willing to admit it. I think it'll be great. I'll be rooting for the Jets and the Giants when they play the New Orleans Saints. And I'm sure May and Egan will be rooting for them.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let me ask you about the...
In the meantime, things are going well downtown.
They are, but there is frustration, because you and I have talked about it, about civil projects, you know, that because there are so many constituencies involved, it becomes frustrating.
I'll come back to giving Schumer a lot of credit for this. Schumer said, maybe it was 6-9 months ago, he gave a speech talking about us losing our ability to do the big projects. And that's our future, and we have to do them. The convention center, you only have to drive from the airport in Chicago downtown, and you see the size of Chicago's convention center, or the same thing is true out in New Orleans. We desperately need a much bigger convention center, and we did have an opportunity, which what was called a stadium, unfortunately, but was really an extension of the convention center. You see the controversy going on about the Atlantic Yards. There was controversy
about
Shea
that.
Stadium and Yankee Stadium and a new ballpark for the Mets and a new Yankee Stadium. All of these big projects. Having said that, I hope that when this administration finishes office in 2009, end of 2009, that we will look back and say we got an enormous number, not all, but an enormous number of these projects finished or going. And the magnitude of what we're trying to do, John, somebody the other day gave me these numbers, and I've been using it in speeches since because it's just so impressive to me. We committed to build or rehab 165,000 units of affordable housing. And I have never made a commitment that I didn't think would be at least going in a non-cancelable form by the end of our administration. They all won't be done during our administration. But I'm not promising things for the next guy to do. I'm trying to say we're going to do things and we're going to deliver them. And the 165,000 units will either be built, under construction, or at least sited and funded before I leave office. And they're scheduled to be completed in 2013, I think it is. The 165,000 units of affordable housing. This is new or rehabbed affordable housing. There's lots of other affordable housing. When people say we don't have enough, they may be right, but this will house 500,000 people, which is more people than live in Atlanta. That's just the new or rehabbed affordable housing that we're adding. There's plenty of other, and that's just the affordable housing. The market rate housing dwarfs it. If the numbers here are very different, the problems here are very different, but you're right. You have all these different constituencies, and everybody says, if I don't get my piece, I'm going to hold it up, and they use the environmental laws,
which
were never designed to do that. Nobody cares about the fish or the bird. They only want to stop the project, so they use those things. And we have to solve that problem in our society. There's nothing wrong with having good environmental laws and having them enforced. I'm all in favor of that. But if that's not the issue, using them to stop progress because I don't want it in my backyard, you know.
Tell me what you can and tell me your reaction to the pushback on the Atlantic Yards, the Ratner plan in Brooklyn. Big pushback going on.
I don't know if there's a big pushback. There was a big rally. They had 12 hours of public testimony. Sitting through that would have been long. I mean, I hope there was a bathroom break occasionally. There were 2,000 or 3,000 supporters and a few hundred protesters. I think I'd be careful here. Most people in Brooklyn, every poll shows, they want affordable housing and they want jobs and they want a sports team, and that's what this is all about. And it's a piece of land that has not been used up to its potential right in the middle of Brooklyn. This will make an enormous difference to an enormous number of people. They will live better, have the dignity of being self-sufficient with jobs. It will give a boost to a whole part of the city that hasn't had a boost in a long time. And, I think it's going fine with all of the protests. Hopefully it'll still get done. I think it will.
There was an article this week that one of the things that you and your administration are finding is that the attorney general who's running for governor has sort of slowed things down when it comes to development and some of the projects. Was that a fair article?
I didn't really think so. Elliot Spitzer has a right to his views, as long as they don't conflict to when he's representing the state and there's no legal challenge here in some of these projects, so he's not. He's got a right to his views. I think that the one place I would argue, not just him but everybody, there's a tendency when you're near the end of an administration to say, oh, let's postpone everything until the next administration so the next administration gets a chance to weigh in. We don't elect people for three-quarters of a term or for a half of their term. This business of making them lame ducks, no. We expect them to work right up until the last day, and we want them to work right up to the last day, and we should accept their decisions right up to the last day, and then I think you should focus on afterwards. You know, Rudy did what he thought was right up to the last day, turned over the reins to me, seamless transition. Some things changed. Each of us has different views. But what he did, I didn't try to undo, and I didn't ask him to stall, and I didn't go and try to convince people to tell him to slow down. He should do it up until the last day, and then I should do it, and I plan to do it up until the last day. And I think these criticisms of Pataki that he's trying to get some successes, sure he is. That's what he's paid to do. He should be trying to get successes for every day of the 12 years that he has been, is, and will be in office. And then you go on to the next guy. Whomever is elected governor, and I'll work well with them. Elliot Spitzer lives around the corner from me. He's a friend. We talk frequently, I try to work with him to the extent he has any issues as attorney general. And if he is the governor, I'll work well with him. If he's one of his opponents or governor, I'll work well with them.
Do you think that you have an advantage in the discussion you just had because of your independence? The fact that you're not a professional politician.
People keep reminding me of that every time I say the wrong thing.
No, I wasn't suggesting you said the wrong thing. I just think that you have an independence that most politicians don't have, and that gives you that the soapbox, the position to talk from.
I think that if you take a look, the reason I've said I would work for Joe Lieberman is exactly that. That I believe elected officials should do what they think is right. That's what they were elected for. We have a democracy, not a republic. You don't put every issue for public vote. That's not practical. You elect people, and then you let them do what they think is right. And you don't want them to have to check with some central authority as to whether it's acceptable. Central authority, in the case of Joe Lieberman, is a party. Central authority in the case of another elected official may be union support or management support, developer support, church support. You want people that will call them as they see them. And you're not going to agree with them on everything, but that's what independence is all about. That's what we envision the party system to be helpful in giving us a couple of choices to make the selection process somewhat easier for everybody, but I don't think anybody envisions the party system to be you have some people who weren't elected, who are the head of these parties, who decide what's right and what's wrong, and then everybody who got elected under their banner has to kowtow to them.
Your independence has, in my view, highlighted the difference that you just described, because you are unique. There's maybe one or two other people that fall into the same category as you do in the world of politics. The rest of them all fall into the other side of the fence.
But they don't have to.
No, they don't have to, but they do. I mean, whether they have to or not, they see.
I can't speak for what anybody else does or why. I've always believed that democracy is my favorite painting. I may have said this before on the show. There's a painting of Norman Rockwell, painting of a guy in his leather overalls, obviously coming straight from work, standing up at a town meeting to express himself. That's what the founding fathers had in mind. Now, when you get bigger cities, you have to have a democracy where you elect people who then do that. But I don't like the idea of anybody telling me or telling the people who I voted for what they can and can't stand for and say. I voted for them because I respected their judgment, and I knew I wouldn't agree with them on everything, but that they stood up and said what they really believe, and that they were consistent. I mean, you want, you know, you evolve over time. You learn things. I've learned, and some things I believe today are different than before because I've, with experience, realized that the facts were different than what I thought, or the facts have changed, or I didn't analyze it the right way. You don't want somebody that's pigheaded, never moves. But you don't want somebody that changes every day, overnight. The way I phrased
because of outside
influence. The way I phrased it in the speech, the most egregious example of this is I think that a lot of elected officials and would-be elected officials are using pollsters not to tell them where the public is, but to tell them where they are. And it's what I call leading from the back. And that's not good government. That's the kind of partisan government, unfortunately, I think we do have in this country much too much. And we've paralyzed ourselves because if one party's representative says something, the other party is automatically opposed. And vice versa. And there's no
gridlock.
Gridlock. And you can't blame either side. Blame them both.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Mayor, we need to take a break. We have gone a bit long here, so let's get to our half-hour break 4.5 minutes late. Here's George Weber. We continue here on the John Gambling Show Friday with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We'll open up the phones here in a little bit, 1-800-848-WABC, if you would like to get online. If you've got a question for the mayor, I had to chuckle this morning when I was reading through the papers, and I saw the story about the people that lost the contract on the street furniture were complaining that the deal was crooked, it was a scam, it was an inside deal. And you and I have talked about this for 6 years now.
This has gone on for decades. And, you can use the term sore loser. Personally, I wouldn't – some of these companies – If you go into a competition and you don't have the best product at the best price at the right delivery time, get on with your life. This business of resorting to courts, we'll sue them until they cave and we'll get another chance at it again and again. And the hell with the public. That's the whole attitude. We don't care about the public. We only care about ourselves. If we don't get the contract, we're going to stop it from going. And that has happened with this street furniture stuff. And who would have thought that a place to relieve yourself or to buy a newspaper
would be that controversial?
Or stand at a bus stop would be that controversial. There's a lot of money involved. And that just goes on and on and on. And then every elected official's got their own favorite because these guys give money to campaigns, which is one of these outrages that we should end the city. And, in fact, the Campaign Finance Board hasn't done it yet, but the public had a referendum and said, had Campaign Finance Board end this pay-to-play business. And we can't do it for the state, which does it, or the federal government, which does it. No, it's wrong at every level. If you've got business before the city, state, or federal government, you shouldn't be giving to elected officials, period.
End of story.
End of story. Yeah, come on. It's called, in the private sector, it's called bribery.
Graft.
Graft. It's an outrage.
It really is outrageous. You want to say? George Weber is back in here. You have something you need to add?
I do, actually.
This is a WABC News Bulletin.
Just getting word right now from the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning, not a watch, a warning for northern New York County and southeastern New York. I'm reading this as it comes in right now. Southwestern Bronx County, Bergen County, and northeast New Jersey. At 10:38, National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado near Morningside Heights or about near Ridgefield. It's moving east now about 25 miles an hour. It is going to be near Harlem and Mott Haven at around 10:45. Very rare for a tornado to come down into the city of New York. But again, at this point, a tornado warning has been issued. If you are anywhere in that area, you should take cover, do what you need to do, and stay away from the path of the storm.
You know, life is so ironic.
It is your fault.
Life is so ironic.
I got to tell it. Because you won't tell it right. You have a vested interest here. John and I were, there was a television. During the commercial break. I mean, it's the radio, but you watch television occasionally, too. There's some photos of tornadoes out in the Midwest, and you said, jinxing it.
I said, at least you don't have to worry about this very often.
Right. And here we are. It was about 12 minutes later.
You see what you've done?
12 minutes later, and there's a tornado watch. There's nothing more than that right at the moment. Nothing has touched down.
We are checking with the authorities right now to see if there's
any damage. Well, I'm sure that Stu and the mayor and his people will be checking on that as well. How unusual that is. That is just crazy. That goes back to last week. I mentioned the JonBenet Ramsey case. I mean, out of the blue, hadn't talked about it in 7 years or 6 years or whatever it was, and all of a sudden that story broke the next day. It was. I must be clairvoyant. I must be.
The question is not that. The question is, why is it so? I mean, a tragic event, but why is it dominate the news? Given there are lots of
For all the prurient reasons that, you know, little pictures, and that's a different story for another time. Let me ask you before we go to the break, and then we're going to open up the telephones. Con Edison, the city has said that it will follow up on Con Edison. George, in the half-hour news break, had another death related to the heat wave of this summer, that the city will do double-checking behind Con Ed or in front of Con Ed.
Exactly. I don't think any of the people that died, or virtually none, were in an area where Con Ed, where there was that power outage. It happened later on and in all through the city, yes. Yeah, so.
Why shouldn't the customers of Con Edison and the city proper demand that Con Ed have the capabilities technologically to not have the city have to go out in front here?
I think Con Ed should have that. I think that we have to work with them to get better information that don't necessarily fix the problem. What Con Ed needs, arguably more, is to upgrade their network, which they are in the process of doing, and we've got to help them with street permits, you know, permits to construct and that sort of thing, and make sure they have enough money to do it, to go and to upgrade their network to more modern technology. At the same time, you always want to have information so that we can deploy our resources. The good news was that when we found out how big the, in the case of the Long Island City power outage for a lot of people, we deployed our resources. I saw there was some elected official went on and on about we didn't move all the fire trucks in. We had fire trucks there. We covered this whole city. I mean, it's, you know, to say those things without having any idea, the professionals did everything they should have done, and the results are there. Fires went down. Crime went down. Garbage got picked up. Service got restored, tragically. It's not tragedy. It is, unfortunately, it took a long time for a lot of people who really did suffer. But I think that was not something that contributed to anybody's death, and we want to try to prevent that in the future. Some of these things, you're always going to have some problems.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. We'll take a fast break here, our final one, and then we will get to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-WABC. We are back on the John Gambling Show at 77 WABC with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and a full bank of telephones at 1-800-848-WABC. Mr. Mayor, you want to start with Thomas in Patterson, New Jersey? Thomas, you've got the mayor. Go ahead. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, John.
I'd like to know what went into your thought process when you decided to donate $100 million of your own money to anti-tobacco groups instead of to a Jewish yeshiva.
Number one, it was $125 million. Thank you. And this is just one of the gifts that I'll make this year. But smoking kills 5 million people in the world every year. Smoking this century will kill 1 billion people.
Did you see France is going to ban smoking?
France is banning smoking in restaurants, not yet in casinos and someplace else. I think dance clubs or something. But it's a step in the right direction. Everybody said Ireland. I was there. They don't smoke in the tiny towns. They don't smoke in bars and restaurants anymore. You know, yeshivas, and I'm a very big supporter of education, public education and private education. But this, there's nothing I'll ever do in my life, Thomas, that will save more lives than this. It's, you know, and New York City is to be proud of itself. After New York City banned smoking, the state did, Connecticut, New Jersey. When we went into the smoking ban, there was one state that banned smoking, California. Today there's 12 states and 12 countries, and the places where you'd say never. Everybody said the Irish and the Italians will never come here on a vacation anymore if you ban smoking here. And, of course, both countries have. And France is the other one they hold up. And not that. Okay, maybe Ireland and Italy, but not France. Lo and behold.
It's amazing.
Smoking kills you, plain and simple.
It's good that what
and
you're doing.
And secondhand smoking kills you just as much as primary
Absolutely.
Smoking.
Thomas, thank you very much. Let's go to Max in Riverdale. You've got the ear of Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Max, go ahead.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on your the donation to the anti-smoking.
Oh, good. The last guy didn't like it.
I lost a lot of family to cancer, and I just think it's wonderful, and it's one of the reasons you're my favorite mayor ever in New York. And I'd like to invite you. Do you know about the big Israel debate next week in Tarrytown that Ron Kuby is moderating at the Tarrytown Music Hall?
Max, we don't have a lot of time.
Come to the Tarrytown Music Hall. You can get tickets at popdebate.com.
Okay, Max, when the commercial's over, what do you want to ask the mayor?
Well, yes, please come to the debate. It's very important. Sid Zion will be there, Morton Klein, and Dennis Perrin, and it'll be a wonderful debate. You can get tickets at popdebate.com.
Okay, thank you,
Max. Thank you very much. Okay. nice to talk with you,
Let's
Max.
Go to Nick in Manhattan.
All right, Nick, you're up. Nick, you don't have a commercial, do you? Otherwise, we're going to send you a bill.
No. Mr. Mayor, hi. I'm presently unemployed, and I'd like to open a small business, and I like casinos. Now, how come I'm forbidden to open a small casino here in Manhattan?
The state constitution prohibits gambling in New York State, and there are exemptions on Indian reservations because they're not part of New York State, not part of the United States. And there are exemptions in it for racetracks.
Video terminals.
Video lottery terminals, right. Which are not slot machines, although you and I couldn't tell the difference, but it's cleverer ways that they get around the law.
They have a handle, a button.
They have a handle, button, and three lemons, but technically it sends a message out, and they conduct the lottery and send the results back and then line up the lemons based on whether you won or lost. Only in New York could we figure out a ways around that. Gambling's very controversial also. The problems with it are it's regressive is one argument. We might as well get the money if other people are doing it is an argument on the other side of that. Argument is that it doesn't really help the local area, so people say let's put it in the Catskills because they have real economic needs. But if you look at Atlantic City, it didn't seem to help the neighborhood, although it did generate money for the state of New Jersey, and you could make the case that we need money for education, so gambling would give us money for education.
But you know that wouldn't happen because that was the argument in New Jersey, and the money just went into the general fund.
You know, all money's fungible. I love these. Well, you know, this money is destined for – our lottery money is destined for education. Sure it is, but then we don't give the other money.
Right. You don't keep the same amount of money there to increase the pot.
You know,
in politics it comes back to our discussion before.
Anyways, that's why you can't
All right, start. Nick, thanks a lot. 1-800-8-WABC. Joe, you've got the mayor. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
Hi.
Joe. Go ahead.
My name is Joe Hardigan. I live in Rockaway, Queens, retired New York City fire lieutenant. And I know you have a problem getting more minorities on the New York City Fire Department. And I helped with the Wounded Warrior program down here. Why not waive the fees? We have all these veterans getting 5 points vets preference, 5 points city residents preference, and they'd go right to the top of the list. I'd be more than happy to volunteer. There's an Army Reserve base over here in Floyd Bennett Field. There's over 1,000 people there. There's 10 of them around New York City. We have a unique opportunity now with all these kids getting activated.
All right, Joe, we've got a
Joe,
time
listen,
problem here.
I thank you for everything you did and apparently continue to do for the people of this city. We need more people like you who really try to make things better rather than just complain about it. We do have a problem in our fire department in the sense that if you take a look at it, it's not very diverse, and the federal government has some laws, and we don't want them coming in telling us how to run our fire department. We want to make sure that the firefighters we get are those who have the best able to protect lives and property in this city. And what we're trying to do is to attract more people to apply, give them help in passing the test, and then we're going to expand the training in the police, in the fire department, and take our 13-week program and make it longer and tougher so that we can train these men and women even better and give you better service.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we are blown out of time. See you next week.
Passion. This is the most listened to news talk radio station.